with Kristen Bry. We're in the second hour. This has flown by. This week has flown by, the first week of the show. But I am here with my friend Kristen Lighty, who lives up in Green Bay. And I feel like you might deal with this more than I have to, but one of the Wisconsin Supreme Court decisions that came down this week. No, was it this week or was it, I think it was it this week or last week that this came down? But it was before the ballot box decision that came down this morning. It was the Wisconsin Supreme Court case that we thought we were going to talk about because they made a significant change to the open records law, which it was this week. It was July 6th. And this is one of those specialty, wheelhouse stories that I feel like with As Goes Wisconsin is primed to explain because on its face, you're like, oh, why do I care? But it does affect you. I've personally never had an open records request. Have you?
Having filed one?
Yeah.
Or, oh yeah, a lot.
A lot of them.
I've done, with federal court to find out where ICE raids happened. I've done them with school districts to find out who's resigning. Like, it's a pretty useful tool that I've used a lot over the decades.
We should actually, maybe before we dive into it, give a little bit more background on the work that you do besides being a stand-up, because we haven't even talked about it yet. So giving a little bit more context of like why you've had so much experience in and around government and having to make these kinds of requests.
Oh, sure. So I've been a union organizer for the past 15 years. I started in Chicago working for the United Food and Commercial Workers. We represent like packing houses and retail, which is why I was very interested. We had a community coalition that was interested in ICE raids because, it caused havoc for so many of our members' lives. So that was one instance, and we wanted to know what was happening. And then now in my current role, I'm a director with the Wisconsin Education Association Council Region 3, which is such a mouthful. We're the teachers union, so I work with about 24 different districts throughout the area, and each district has their own independent local union. So my role is to advise and help plan campaigns, help local members achieve their goals, and I do some representation. So information requests would look like anything from trying to figure out the actual list of who is working in the district, who's retiring, who's resigning. And it can go into like if disciplinary actions are taken against a member, we could ask for, what documents were created in the search to find and come to this conclusion.
Got it. All right. Well, that's a very thorough explanation. And so knowing that, so my understanding of what happened in this case is that basically they're limiting when people who make a lawsuit over an open records request can recover attorney's fees. And so basically it says if you request, in the case that actually made it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it was actually here in Waukesha, and it was a group who had made a request of the city for certain documents. And there was one document that they didn't release right away. And the city had said it was because of their negotiations and they couldn't be compromised. And then the group that had made the request filed a lawsuit. 2 days later, they got access to the document that they requested. But then they thought they were entitled to attorney fees to reimburse themselves for the lawsuit that they had filed. And this made it, first there was one judge that said nope, then there was an appeals court that said yep, and then it made it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and they ultimately this week said no. And basically saying that you have to have a judge, like some judicially sanctioned change in the party's relationship in order to be, to qualify for getting your attorney fees reimbursed. And so what I understand of why this is, one, it's a huge change from what's been the standard, is it also now just potentially deters people from making the request, or at least from having a lawsuit to get the things that they requested. Is that how you understand it?
Yes. And there are a lot of problems with FOIA as it exists now, because there's a lot of gray area.
What is FOIA?
The Freedom of Information Act.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know there was an acronym for it.
Oh, there's an acronym for everything, baby. Yeah. but as it exists now, like if I'm going to an employer and, you know, like a public employer to ask for records, they can say, basically, if they don't want to do it, they don't have to. They can get around it, right? They could say, oh, we're going to charge you for the cost of getting this information, and that's going to cost Diane over in HR. That's like 10 hours, and she makes $8,000 an hour. So if you want this information, it's going to cost you $1 million. Do you have $1 million? Oh, so sorry. We can't do it. You know, so they will come up with ways.
And that's legal.
To get around it. Oh, yeah, it's absolutely legal if they want to do that. I had one district I was working with say that we needed to pay them $500 or something like that to acquire the list of retirees. I'm like, I'll just go look in your board minutes because it's there. Like, so really it depends on how difficult people want to be. So I could see in some instances you would need legal help to try and get information if they don't want to cooperate willingly. Because essentially, like, FOIA is on the books, but like to hold them to it, you know, it's all about that enforcement piece.
Yeah, which is, this is what this case. So it didn't actually change the ability to make the request. It's more about the enforcement of, well, now you're potentially risking your, or the group that you're a part of is risking the financial responsibility of trying to enforce the request.
Yeah. I think it's just overall, you know, the conversation we've seen to squash democracy, right? Like they don't want you to vote. They want you to have information. Shh, just don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I was, because often when it seems like we're dealing with judges or justices, whether it's now federally, but also for a while now in this state. And the thing with this state is it is more political because our Wisconsin Supreme Court is elected, which is not how the U.S. Supreme Court, they get their jobs. And, you know, and they are allowed to take political campaign money. And so while they were supposed to be nonpartisan and they were supposed to make rulings based on the actual law, it's very easy to track who is responsible for trying to get them reelected every 10 years. And so, but this, who benefits in this situation? You know, like it kind of comes back to always like follow the money. Like where does who is behind this being a good idea? And you may know more about this than I do, but I don't know why this is who's the winner in this game?
I think bad actors are because they're never going to be found out.
But is that who's behind? I mean, like, but I'm saying, I think more of who's influencing a court to rule this way? Like what party would be invested in this being the outcome at that like high level? Does that not make sense?
I mean, I've just come to feel lately like our government is just a sharecropper system where we pay their salary and for their health care and their fancy vacations. So like I don't feel like it's one party over the other particularly. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it feels a little bit more obvious, but this one seems like a big deal. And for people who are, you know, very protective of the public's ability to have access to this kind of information, I don't know why you would not want to continue that. But we have a caller.
Well,
we have our first caller. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, let the caller.
Let the caller. We have Mark. Mark, yes, what do you think?
Thanks so much. Well, I think that this is a wrong-headed decision, because I'm familiar with, well, I haven't filed them myself. I have friends that have filed them on behalf of the union back in the days when we actually had, you know, the union, the state employees union, because I was a steward in that union. And recently they've been trying to get the information on the vacancies. The state has just been talking about the huge number of vacancies there are in public service positions, partially because of the demonization of public, you know, of people who choose public service as a career, and that and the low pay. I mean, that the pay is, you know, not kept up. here you're hiring professionals. I was an accountant. I mean, that worked at the DNR. You don't think of somebody who works at the DNR being an accountant, but the accountant, the DNR had accountants too. That, and that is, you know, that's going to make it more expensive because the unions, you know, what is left of the skeleton that is left of the unions now, if they want to get information from the state, you know, they're going to, you know, pony up the funds to get it, and, you know, the state can drag its feet and say, we're not going to give that to you, whereas if it's somebody like Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the state would probably, you know, that our legislature would be screaming bloody murder if the state tried to drag their feet on that, you know, but they'd make damn sure that Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty received their, you know, whatever money they had to invest in filing for that open records request. I mean, that it is just, you know, that, you know, what we've got a bond paid for Supreme Court because they don't even have to file ethics anymore. Well, any kind of code of ethics. The code of ethics was written by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, for God's sake.
Yep, that is. I was just listening to Rick Essenberg on. Thanks so much for the call, Mark. That was really good insight. And yeah, I was listening to the president and founder of Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He was responding to today's ruling on one of the radio stations. But yeah, I mean, I think this is probably a good time to remind everyone that there is another election for a Wisconsin Supreme Court position next year, spring 2023. And it's going to be a very, very important election. Mark your calendars now. Because it is an opportunity to not have this be a bought and paid for Wisconsin Supreme Court. All right, when we come back, we're going to keep talking about where unions are today. Now that we're on the topic, let's go with that. And so between Mark and Kristen, talk about what happened while I was not living in Wisconsin to our unions. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Might as well be walking on the sun.